The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at his rising, and we have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at his rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way." The Gospel of the Lord. So now, if you are listening to the gospel this morning and listening to the opening hymn, we'll talk a little bit about that. And also in the gospel this morning, we've had the first mention of GPS, because the three wise, the three seekers were guided by a star, and they followed the star, just like we do nowadays very often with GPS. When we're going somewhere strange, we follow what the GPS is telling us how to find some place. And a man asked his wife, why did God provide a star for the three people that came to visit Jesus? And she said, well, very simply, because God knew men would be too proud to ask for directions. So that kind of answers that. Now, let's now have a closer look at the gospel this morning, and hopefully you'll find it maybe interesting, and hopefully I'll give you an insight maybe into some details that you didn't realize before. Where, going back to the opening hymn, we three kings of Orient are, well, there's no mention in the scripture of kings. Now, where we got the idea of kings, I don't know. Also, it's very important to realize that only in the Gospel of Matthew do we find mention of these three people. You notice I call them three people. If you want to give them a name, I would call them maybe three seekers or maybe three outsiders. Why would I say that? Because at that time, as we today, Israel thought they were God's chosen people. And Israel was divided into three peoples, really, the Judeans, the Galileans, and the Perians. And so that was why Jesus was referred to as King of Judea, because that was one of the names given to Israel. And Matthew, by mentioning these three outsiders or seekers, was trying to teach people that God came for all people, and especially for the Gentiles, and that was always part of God's plan. Now we go back also, another interesting thing, leading up to Christmas during the season of Advent, one of the days, and also on Christmas Day, really, in one of the Gospels, Matthew is the only one that gives, it goes into the genealogy of Jesus. Now, he did that very cleverly because he wanted to give, and especially Joseph. Joseph knew that he wasn't the father of Jesus, but he never made that public. And so Matthew wanted to give Jesus an honorable father, so to speak. And so he took the name David, and the consonants in the letter David, the consonants would be D, V, D. No, we're not talking about a DVD that we know nowadays, but DVD. And DVD, often the letters in Hebrew also refer to numbers. And so DVD adds up to 14. And if you go through the genealogy, you'll see that Matthew has divided it into 3 14s. Very clever. Ending up at the end with Joseph, the son of David, and Jesus, the son of Joseph. So he gives Christ descent from the greatest king Israel ever had, King David. And so he does that, and all that comes into the gospel this morning. Now, we don't know, and there's no evidence outside the scripture or outside the gospel of Matthew that this is a true story, that three seekers came. And so it's possible that he was remembering the story of Balaam found in the book of Numbers, and so was trying, wanted to make the point that Jesus came for all people, not just for the Israelites, or not just, they were known of very often as the Jews, not just for the Jews. And that's really what the gospel is all about this morning on the Feast of the Epiphany, Epiphania, Epiphanio from the Greek, I make myself known. That's the meaning of the word Epiphany. So we go back. So now it's up to us, having said that and given the background to the gospel, to apply it and and to put it into practice where we are today. So how do we do that? Well, very, very simply. We're told, so if we regard these three people who came as three outsiders or three genuine seekers, and then apply that to where we are today. I was born into Catholicism. I never made any decision on my own whether I would be a Catholic or not. It was something I just accepted. And maybe that wasn't a good thing. And for many of you listening to me this morning, maybe that's where you are too. And that's why I can honestly say, give me a genuine seeker any day rather than somebody along for the ride. And you'll often find, and I have found certainly in my experience as a priest, that somebody who is a convert to the faith, to Catholicism, often makes a much better Catholic than somebody who was born into it or just accepted it without never making any real decision. And so, you know, it's true to say a lot of Catholics, just take it for granted. A lot of people certainly don't appreciate the gift of faith and have no real relationship with Jesus, because that's what the faith is all about. Now, if you go back to the Gospel of Christmas Day, the lovely reading from the Gospel of John, he came to his own and his own did not know him. And you know, a lot of people, Catholics today, that's where we are. You know, we don't really know him. And that's sad. That's sad. Now, I'm thinking of people that I've met and that I know pretty well all through my life as a priest. And I find very often they have very little curiosity about the faith. They just come along, and I hope you're not among these, along on a Sunday and just take whatever is said, and that's it for the rest of the week. But Sunday is the first day of the week. It's the beginning of the week. So what do you do for the rest of the week? How much a part does Jesus play in our lives? And I also notice that our sense of, go back to the gospel this morning, what's the first thing these seekers did, or the so-called seekers that Matthew mentions in the gospel, what's the first thing they did when they found the baby? They prostrated themselves. There was a sense of awe. Einstein once said that if we never have a sense of awe is the beginning of any genuine religious feeling or decision. A sense of awe. And I think today many of us have lost that sense of awe. I notice very few people, when they pronounce the name Jesus, bow their heads. It's a very special name. Jesus. It's a very special name. I'm also very aware that many, many people come in and out of this church and totally ignore the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Never mind making any attempt at a genuflection, don't even bow their head. Have lost all sense of, for the use of a better word, all sense of awe or even respect for where they are. Not not even remotely aware. And when we lose that, you know, what do we have? What do we have left? I think not very, very much. I want you really to look at yourself this morning. And Jesus came and was again told in the beautiful reading from the Gospel of John on Christmas Day. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in the world, and everything was made through him and by him and for him. He was a light in the darkness. That's our vocation. It's mentioned in the Gospel this morning again. To be a light in the darkness. And we're living in darkness at the moment. And it's not just a pandemic. That makes, you know, it really is dark at the moment. Before ever we knew of the pandemic, we were in a very dark world. Anger, bitterness, resentment, wars. We were living in darkness. And so I want you to ask yourself, really, really ask yourself today, as I too have to ask myself, am I a light in the darkness? Do I encourage anybody by the way I live and the things I do and the things I say? You know, it's a question of yes or no. And I think for us who call ourselves Catholic, sitting on the fence is no longer an option. We got to get off the fence and make and let people see that God does matter to us. That's what the Gospel is about this morning, whether you believe it or not. And so, does God matter in your life? Be honest. Do you have a relationship? A real relationship. It's not just about some kind of a belief up in your head. It's got to be in the heart. It's no point in telling somebody I love you if you don't show it. It's simple. Maybe it's so simple we don't even think about it. But that's how it is. And we really, I think at the beginning of this year, have a look at where our lives are going. Do we have a vision? Do we have a purpose? Do we have a meaning? Or are we just, as the phrase I used earlier on, just along for the ride? Just kind of meandering from day to day. So please think about that, where you are, what is your life about, what part does God play in your life?